Well, since it is Scout Sunday, I always open my messages with a scouting story. I was a part of Boy Scouts for my whole growing up. I started as Bobcat, went all the way to Eagle. So scouting was a big part of my life. And one of my favorite things about being a Boy Scout, one of the favorite things that we did as a troop growing up in Maryland was something we called Patrol Wars. Now, I don't know if you guys do anything like that here. Sometimes they call something like that a Camp Beret. That sounds a little cheesier to me. I like Patrol Wars. Sounds much more manly. So what Patrol Wars was is that you would get the whole troop that we go out camping, and troops are broken up into different patrols. My patrol was the Screaming Eagle Patrol. And then you would have these competitions throughout the weekend. So there'd be different things. There'd be first aid. There'd be knot tying. There'd be different things like that. Each patrol would go by themselves and go to a scout leader, and they would challenge them. And then the scout leaders would tally it all up. And at the end of the weekend, they would find out which patrol did the best and which patrol won Patrol Wars. One weekend particularly, I remember, I was the patrol leader that year. And we were going through, we've been going through from station to station all around and have been doing okay. And finally, we get to the next station. And when we get there, there's nothing but sticks and a rope across the sticks. And there's a scout leader and said, "This is your challenge. Your challenge is to burn the rope. You have to burn the rope, and I'm going to time you. You're going to start out, each patrol will get 5 matches." So we're there, our patrol's there alone. They're like, "You get 5 matches, and if you need additional matches, it'll cost you a minute on your time for every additional match that I need to give you. If anyone on your team touches the rope, they're out of the challenge. If they cannot help, they can't speak, they're out of the challenge." We're like, okay, we're ready for it. Let's go. We get our matches, and we're like, this is a burn the rope challenge. So I light the match, and I just try to burn the rope. And I'm getting closer and closer because the fire is getting closer to my fingers. And I touched the rope, and I was out. I'm like, darn it, I'm out. So the rest of my patrol, my assistant patrol leader, is like, I saw what my leader did. Let me take another match. Lights the match. Starts to burn the rope. His fingers get on fire. He lights another match. Starts to burn the rope. He touches the rope. Within about a minute, all our matches are gone, and half our patrol are on the sit-out bench. And I look over at the scout master, and he's just going like this. And I'm wondering, why is he so disappointed? And actually, at this point, some of the other scout masters start coming over, and they're just pointing and laughing at us. And I'm not quite sure why, except I notice that they're standing by a whole pile of wood. I'm like, oh, well, that seems like that might have been important. So now there's only the younger scouts in our patrol, and they're trying to figure out, and I'm trying to point over to them, okay, go over there. But, you know, I'm not supposed to say anything. So they go over, and they figure out, okay, this wood is important. So they find a small stick, and they think, here we go. We'll just light the stick on fire, and then we'll light the rope on fire. And so they start to buy matches for minutes, and they start to light the sticks. It didn't work. And we failed. Because what were we missing? What should we have done? Built a fire! That's right. See, it turned out it was actually a fire-making competition. I didn't realize that. Because my thought was, this is a burn-the-rope competition. But if I had realized it was a fire-making competition, well, I would have made a fire. And actually, our patrol was really good at making fires. That's my best scout skill. Like, I can still do a no-match flint and steel fire to this day. But I can only do it when I know that's what I'm supposed to do. It's interesting in life, sometimes we get a little bit lost when we get confused about what it is that we should be doing. That we try to burn the rope instead of build the fire. And oftentimes, I think that's where we get kind of lost in our own lives, that we get focused on many things. And maybe you know what it looks like to focus just on burning the rope in your life, just to try to burn it through and get the win. Maybe for you, that's going through school and doing well in school, getting into college. Maybe for you, that's doing well in your job, making money. Maybe for you, that's providing for your family. Whatever that is, we can focus so much on burning the rope, so much on let me just get through this finish line and get through this accomplishment, that we miss out on making the fire. We miss out on having a life of meaning and purpose and value. Because even if we finally get enough matches that we can burn through the rope, what do we have left? A broken rope and singe marks on our fingers. And many of us, that's the life that we're going through. But instead, what if we focused on building the fire? What if we focused on having that life of meaning and purpose and value? And if that's the case, then whatever ropes come in our way will get burned up because we have the fire and we have the flame. That's who we're about as a faith community here, that we may live lives ablaze. And what fuels that blaze is prayer. Is prayer. That if we live a life of prayer, a life in connection with God, that's a life of fire. That's a life of moving things forward. That's a life of fulfillment, of wholeness, and a life that is able to burn through the ropes in our path. I want to share a scripture with you from James chapter 5. Verse 13 and 16. This is the book of James. It says this: Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so here in this passage, there's some ropes in there. There's some difficulties saying, hey, there's sickness, there's trouble, there's pain. But in all of it, he's saying our call in life is to pray. And it's not just to pray when things get bad. It's not just to light the match and try to burn it through, but to have a life of prayer. Because he says, hey, is any one of you in trouble? What should you do? Pray. And but then if things are going well and you're happy, you should also still pray. And if things are really tough and you don't know what to do, you should. But if things are going great and you don't need any other help, but you should still pray. It's the lifestyle, because if you're just lighting the match when there's the rope, then it's not going to be there. But if you're fueling the fire, That's fueling the fire of that prayer in your life. That's connection with God. And I know for you, when I say this word prayer, it means different things to different people. But really what it is, it's our communication and our connection with God. And in our culture right now, I would say that prayer, it's tolerated, like it's understood, but it's not primary. So even in our culture, the idea of praying for something, that's like what you do when things are like really, really bad. When I, as a pastor, I'll ask people, can I pray for them? Most of the time they say yes. Sometimes they say no. Sometimes I'll say, hey, can I pray for you? They're like, whoa, it's not that bad. Like, I'm okay. I've had times where there's been someone in the hospital and saying, hey, can I come to the hospital and pray with you? They're like, no, don't do that. Like, I'm not going to die. I'm like, I'm not praying last rites over you. I'm not praying you to walk into the light like you have a broken leg. That's not what I'm praying for. I'm praying for healing. But we get this mindset that it's kind of the last thing that you do. Because even in the words that we say, if somebody is really bad off and you're just saying, all right, this guy's trying to do something, but he's never going to do it, we say he doesn't have a prayer, right? And if somebody's like kind of just making stuff up and it's like, you know, you don't know what you're doing and you're just kind of making it up, we're saying, hey, he's just going on a wing and a. And in football, if you are down and there's no way that you're coming back and you're way far from the end zone, but you just think, you know, we're going to try a play that's probably not going to work, but let's go for it anyway. Let's send the guy long and let's throw it. We call that a Hail Mary, which is a prayer. Right? So in our community, in our society, prayer is what you do when it's probably not going to work. Right? When nothing else is working, like, oh, well, I'll just pray for you. And I believe that prayer is much more than that. It's not just throwing a coin in the wishing well. It's not rubbing the lucky rabbit's foot. prayer is deeper than that. It's not just saying, I want to do something, I can't do it, so let me just throw up a prayer. Instead, it is building a life where you have a connection with the divine. And so a connection with God himself, so that as you move forward in life, those worries and those concerns and those issues that come in front of you, those are not the focus, but building that fire in that life is the focus, and you're able to move forward without fear, without worry, without anxiety. That's the life. See, I believe as we read the Bible, and that's where we put our hope and our faith is God's word, that it sets up what life is meant to be. That we were created to be in relationship with God and created to fulfill a purpose. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis, it says we create mankind in our own image to go and to be able to have an impact on this world. And so you were created by God so that you could be in relationship with him and so that you could fulfill a purpose in your life. You're not just bopping along in the universe doing your own thing, trying just to do things on your own. There's something deeper. There's something greater. And because of that, we are at our best when we are connected with God. We're at our best when we're connected with God. Jesus said it this way. He gave the example of a vine and the branches and said, if you stay connected with me, then you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we stay connected with God. And our primary means of being connected with God is through prayer. We see this with Jesus, that he is God himself, the Son of God, and he exampled for us what it meant to live that life, and he spent time away praying to God. And so if Jesus prayed to connect with God, we also pray to connect with God. And I know we're such a diverse group that are here, that everyone, as you're looking at this, we're all encountering this in different ways, and that's okay. That some of you are saying, yes, I believe in that. I am created for a relationship with God with a purpose, and I want to pray to stay connected with that. Some of you are saying this and saying, yeah, I'm not really sure prayer works that way. And others of you are saying, yeah, I'm not sure there's a God. And so wherever you are at right here, I just want to encourage you to just to move one step closer, to just be challenged to one step. You may not go all the way to where somebody else is at, but just in your own life, wherever that is, know where your starting point is and saying, hey, what's one step closer, one step more? What can I question? How can I move it forward so that I'm not singeing my fingers on matches just trying to get my way through to burn the rope in front of me, but I can live that fulfilled life? Because I believe that we were not made just by accident and just floating through life trying to figure things out on our own, but there is a God of love, of compassion, of justice, of strength. And you may look around the world and say, well, how can that be with all these other things going on? How is he allowing all these negative things to happen? If God is a loving God, why is there pain? And yet God says he loves us so much, he allows us to have free will. We wouldn't be able to have our own choice. There would not be the diversity of life that we have. But he allows us to make these choices that also allow us to create harm and pain. And yet, he says, now, but I will come back and give you healing. I will come back and also allow you to make right what has been made wrong. And I will give you that strength through my power and through my son, Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. That's how we continue to walk it back. And so if this is true, though, if we are at our best when we're connected with God, when there's a fire blazing in our hearts, well, then it would make sense for us to fuel that connection, to spend time and energy on that connection and not just on trying to do the things in our life to move our own life and our finances and our own happiness forward. Because if we are fueling the fire of faith in our life and our connection with God, then all those other things will come. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So what is prayer as we're talking about this? Prayer is conversation with God. That's really what it is. And again, it might have been defined for you in different ways. Maybe for you, prayer is a ritual that you have to say certain words on a page or that you have to do certain things. Maybe for you, prayer, again, is that thing when things are really bad, I ask for stuff from God or from the universe, and I hope things get better. But I really believe that the prayer is a conversation with God. We're not just speaking things out to the ceiling and they're bouncing back to the floor. We're not just putting things out into the universe and hoping they float around to the right place. But God is an actual being, a creator that knows us and loves us, and he speaks to us. And one of the ways he speaks to us is through his word. And when we read scripture, we understand more. Another way he speaks to us is through nature, when we're out and we're walking around and seeing God's creation. Another way he speaks to us is through one another as we listen to each other. And another way he speaks to us is just when we're quiet. There's that sense, there's that conscience within us. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And maybe you've experienced that. There were times when you were seeking and you just felt like you should go somewhere. You felt like you needed to do something. There was an awareness. Somebody said something to you, and you heard what they really meant and not what they said. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's God prompting you and guiding you and listening. And so prayer is a conversation. It's speaking and listening. There was one time when I was prepping a sermon. This was a little while ago. And I kind of looked for a place where I could go and prepare. And so I went, and I was going to go to like a coffee shop out by Oak Ridge, but it was early in the morning, nothing was open yet. So there was the playground outside of Oak Ridge Mall. So I'm like, great, I'll just sit there and I'll work on my message. And so I've got my Bible out and it's open, and I start praying and start thinking. And for me, I'm kind of an active person. When I pray, I can't just sit still because I don't like sitting still. And when I work on a sermon, I think about everything that I'm going to do and all the stories I'm going to tell. And so generally I do that in here. And so when none of you guys are here during the week, I pace around in here, and then I walk around in here, and like all the stories that I tell, like I practice them. And so I tell them, and all my little jokes I tell, and I laugh at my own jokes. And so I do that, and I notice that, so I'm there at the playground, and I start doing the same thing. I just start, like, standing up, and I start, like, pacing around a little bit, and then, like, because I'm thinking about the things I'm going to say, and so I'm, like, you know, I'm kind of talking a little bit, and I walk around, and then mall security showed up. She came in a little golf cart and came and said, hi, sir, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, boy. How do I say this so I don't sound crazy? I'm just like, well, I'm practicing a talk. Like, oh, okay. Then she saw that I had a Bible open, which made me look really crazy. And then she's like, oh, are you talking to God? I'm like, yes, kind of. And then she said, oh, is God talking back? Kind of, yeah. She's like, sir, I'm going to need your driver's license. So now I'm on record at Oak Ridge Mall. I do not know what annotations are next to my name, and I don't want to know. Because I know it sounds a little bit crazy to say, wait, I'm talking to God, and God is talking back. But when I say that, I don't mean that I'm hearing the voice of God, you know, there. He's not talking to me through my oatmeal. Like, it's nothing weird like that. It's praying to God, it's saying, Lord, this is my heart. This is what's going on in my life. I want to hear from you. Would you lead me and would you guide me? May I be connected to you and live that life of interconnection and building that fire in my life to move things forward and trust in you. So that's really what prayer is. When we're praying, we're talking to God. We're speaking to him from our heart. And what happens is the focus shifts away from our problems and our issues and towards God. Because even a lot of us, the way we pray, we're so focused on our stuff. We're like, oh, I'm going to pray. Oh, there's this terrible thing that's going on, or I need to get this job, or my loved one is sick, and so, God, would you fix it? And then we walk away, and we're still focused on the problem. But what real prayer happens is we shift our focus away from the problem and towards God. That's what happens in prayer. Our focus shifts away from our fear and from our worry. And so when we're praying, we're saying, okay, this is my concern. This is what I'm worried about. This is this health concern. This is this financial concern. But God, you are bigger than it. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Would you take this thing that I don't know what to do with, and would you do something great with it? Would you show me if there's a way that you're asking me to move things forward, I'm going to do it, but by your strength. And we walk out of that prayer more focused on God, more focused on the fact that we're not alone in the universe, we're not powerless, God is powerful, and we walk away without that fear and that worry. See, if when you're praying, then you're more stressed out, you're missing a piece. Because when you're those prayers means you're focusing still on the issues instead of focusing on the one who can solve them. You're focusing on the problem instead of on the answer. And in prayer, we focus on the answer. We focus on God, and we come back set free. And the interesting thing, sometimes when we also get it flipped around saying, oh, well, I have to pray because otherwise God's not going to do anything. He doesn't know about these things. But truthfully, like, there's no surprises to God. If we believe that God is the God of the universe that knows all things, like, you're not giving him new information. You know, you're not saying, hey, there is this financial situation, there is this problem, there is this issue in my relationship. And God's like, oh, really? Tell me more. I had no idea. No, God knows. Prayer is telling God what he already knows. And the reason why, it's so that our hearts align to his. So then you may say, well, why am I praying? If God already knows everything, why does he need me to be his news reporter? Well, you're not his news reporter. You're sharing with him and in his presence that you're saying, there is this thing that's going on, and God says, I know. And you're saying, this is this thing that has happened that's going on in our world or in my life, it's making me so angry, and God says, I know, I'm angry at it too. I'm with you. There is this thing, I don't know what to do, I'm so sad over it, and God says, yes, I'm sad too. And so when we come into God's presence, we recognize, oh, my heart is God's heart too. And it changes, and we start praying for this person. God, I'm so mad at this person. God says, yes, I have anger too, but I've forgiven that person through my son, Jesus Christ. So now, will you forgive them as well? So our hearts begin to change. When we tell God, when we come to him with our issues, then we begin to shift more towards his way of seeing things. In prayer, we ask God, we invite him to do things. And it's good to ask God to say, Lord, we need your help. Would you come and heal? We need your help. Would you come and give me creativity to solve this problem? God, we need your help. We're building this building. We don't have the money for it. We don't know how to do it. God, would you do it? And he says, yes, invite me in. When we invite God in, again, it's not news to him. We're asking God to do what he already wants to do. God wants to bring health and healing and hope and joy. God wants to bring provision. And so we're like, well, why doesn't he just do it? Because he wants to know that you want it too. That's what you want. Because God could intervene and he could just make everything the way perfect. But he's saying he's given us agency and a part of it that we get to participate so we can partner in. And so God's saying, hey, I want to bring community and joy and life in abundant ways to Almaden. He's like, but is there anybody else that wants that too? But if there would be people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn towards me, then I will heal their land. And if we come together as a community and pray and ask God, would you do this? He'll say, yes, I want to do this. I'm coming in my way. God is at work, and it's this lifestyle of prayer. I want to give you one example of prayer because we're talking about it. Let me share a prayer with you from Psalm 13. This is a prayer from King David. And you'll see this is a real and a raw prayer. This is him praying from his heart. Psalm 13 says this. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And so do you see this? David opens up, and his prayer is just saying, my life stinks. It is not good. And God, I don't know where you're at. You haven't done what I want you to do. How long is it going to take? That's a prayer. And it's all right, just to be honest and real. It's like, well, that doesn't sound very nice. That doesn't sound very churchy. That doesn't sound very Christian, David. But this is David, a man after God's own heart, and he's sharing his pain and his hurt, being real. And yet, in the midst of that, do you see this? There's this shift right at the end. He starts off with this, God, why are these negative things happening? Why are the good people succeeding? Why are the bad people succeeding when the good people suffer? Why is it the enemies, the people, they're not even good people and life is good for them, but I'm trying to be a good person and life is bad for me? What's going on? And he's starting staring at the problem, and then he starts to shift towards God. But I'm trusting in you. I'm going to trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. He shifts instead of just the negative. He's praising God for the positive. And you see how that fire starts to burn? He's not just focusing on the rope that needs to be cut through. He's saying, this is my life. I want to follow after you in prayer. I want to live this life. And we bring it back to the passage that we started with James. It says, is any one of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And this is setting up a lifestyle of prayer. And there are specific things in there saying, all right, if you're sick, call others. Call the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray over you. And we do that here. We say, let's pray over you. Oil, it's not magic oil, but it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And that when there's things going on in our life, we confess to one another. Because sometimes the problem is us. And in prayer, that gets revealed. And so confession is saying, I recognize my own sin. And I am going to tell God what he already knows about me. This is the beginning of a lifestyle of prayer. And it's what I want to invite you to be a part of. This is kind of just the beginning. And I know for some of you guys in the Scout troops that you're just here for today, I'm so glad that you're here. Hopefully, we'd love to have you come back and continue with us through this series on prayer, or join with us as we walk through these 40 days of prayer to see what is the next step for you. Maybe for you, it's just saying the idea of this life of being connected with God and what does it look like. Maybe it's praying for you for the first time. Maybe it's saying, I want to walk in this step by step. Maybe for you, you've been that life of prayer, but you know the fire is dwindling. And so today you're making that recommitment of, I want to pour in to have day by day connecting with God. Not just praying a quick prayer over my food before I eat. Not just praying that I find a good parking spot when the parking lots are full. But praying as a way to connect my heart to God. And then there's this line here that says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And sometimes people misunderstand that, meaning like, oh, I have to be a really good person so I can pray. Or I've got to find a really good person to pray for me. And I get that sometimes. People say, oh, pastor, you're the righteous person. Like, come and pray over me. Like, I'll be glad to pray for you, but it's not because I am better than you. The righteous person is the one that has never sinned, and that is not but in fact, in Scripture, it tells us who the righteous person is. I want to give one more Scripture, and then we're going to close it out. Romans 8, 31 through 34 says this. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So what this is saying is, God is for us. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants what's best. He wants you to be connected with him and live that life of wholeness and fulfillment where the fires burn right. And yet we are sinful and we are messed up and we're going to go with things in our own way. And there's nobody who can light that fire for us. So God said, the only way is if I come through the form of my son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the righteous one, the perfect one that came and gave his life for us, died, rose again, that we might have life through him. And it says now God, he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Interceding is another word for praying. That Jesus, now resurrected Jesus, is in heaven with the Father praying for you. He's praying for you. He is the righteous one that's praying for you. And so we come to God through Jesus Christ, through the righteous one, through his Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together, through the Holy Trinity, that we pray and we give our hearts to him. That's the life of prayer. That's what I want to invite you into in a deep way, to enter into the life of prayer. And just take a moment as we begin to close this out. What does this mean to you? What's one takeaway point? You've been sitting in here, and I'm so glad that you've been in here and listening as we've been talking. But I believe, because I believe in the divine, I believe in a God who is all-knowing and all-seeing, I believe you're here for a reason. And that God brought you in to be in this place, to hear this message for a reason. Take a moment to think about why. What's one takeaway point of what we just said through the songs or through what you've experienced today, through the Word of God? And what's one thought that you want to leave here from this place and hold on to? What's one action that you want to take? Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's in investigating more about who God is. Maybe it's in reaching out to somebody so that you can be an answer to their prayer. What's one action point for you? And let's enter in to this life of prayer together. I'm going to invite our worship team up. They've got one more song that they're going to lead us into. And as they come forward, I'm going to pray for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you by faith. And there are so many ropes in our life. There are so many goals that we want to accomplish, things that we want to make it through. And yet, doing it of our own power, doing it alone, may not work for us. But Lord, having a life of purpose and of meaning, having a life connected to the divine, where we have your satisfaction in our lives, that is something that burns bright no matter what. We cannot do it on our own. We do it through the righteous one, through your Son, Jesus Christ, that died for us. It's not just about our lives, but it's about impacting others. And so, God, may you let that fire burn in us so that we may shine for others. May we be a positive impact in this world. We thank you, God. I pray for each of us that you show us that one next step. And we thank you, God, for who you are. You have moved the mountains. You have done all things. And we trust in you to do it again. We worship you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.